Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today we are tackling a subject that's just, well, everywhere. Deep learning.
It really is. It powers so much of our modern world, from, you know, the obvious things like self-driving cars to things behind the scenes like medical diagnosis.
Exactly. But for a lot of us, it still feels a bit like a black box, doesn't it? Kind of frustratingly opaque.
That's the goal today, I think. We want to cut through that noise.
And we're using John D. Kelleher's fantastic book, Deep Learning, from the MIT Press Essential Knowledge Series to do it.
Right. Think of this as your shortcut. We're aiming to give you a solid mental model of how deep learning actually works without getting lost in the weeds.
Because Kelleher makes the point that even though the applications feel futuristic, the core ideas, they're understandable.
They are. And it's crucial to grasp them because, as Kelleher points out, this isn't just a minor upgrade.
No, it's a real paradigm shift.
Yeah.
We're moving away from that old style of programming where humans had to write every single rule.
Mm.
You know, if this happens, then do that.
Yeah, the explicit instructions.
For systems that kind of discover the patterns themselves just by looking at tons of data.
Exactly. They learn implicitly. It's a totally different approach to building intelligence.
Which is why getting your head around the basics is so important now.
And that's the core question Kelleher tackles, really. How do we use this powerful tool effectively? How do we harness it, but also critically stay aware of its limits and the ethical questions it raises?
Good point. Accountability is huge here.
Definitely.
Okay, before we dive deeper into the what, let's talk about the who. Who is John D. Kelleher, our guide here?
Well, he brings some serious credibility. He's a professor of computer science over at Technological University Dublin, and he leads their Information, Communication, and Entertainment Research Institute. So he's not just reporting on AI. He's been researching it for, what, over two decades, specializing in AI, NLP, machine learning.
He's right in the thick of it.
Absolutely. But here's what I think makes his perspective perfect for this kind of deep dive.
What's that?
He wears two hats. He's the deep academic researcher pushing the field forward.
Right.
But he's also an educator. This book is part of that MIT Press series, specifically designed to translate complex stuff accurately, but without the super dense math or code.
So he's writing for people like us, or maybe business leaders, students, policymakers, people who need to understand it conceptually.
Precisely. He's aiming for strategic clarity, not necessarily for the person who's going to build the next neural network from scratch. He anticipates the confusion points for non-specialists.
That's a valuable skill. He's bridging the gap.
He really is.
Okay, so let's talk about the book itself. How does he structure this journey for the reader?
Well, first off, he lays out the hierarchy really clearly, which you absolutely need.
AI, machine learning, deep learning.
Right, exactly. AI is the big umbrella making machines smart. Machine learning, or ML, is a way to do AI learning from data. And deep learning, DL, is a specific, very powerful type of ML that uses these deep neural networks.
Like those Russian nesting dolls.
Perfect analogy. And the deep part in deep learning, that comes from its structure. It has multiple layers.
Right. And that allows for something he calls hierarchical feature representation.
Yes. That's the core magic, if you want to call it that. It's about automatically learning features at different levels of abstraction.
Okay, break that down, like with an image.
Yeah, image recognition is the classic example. Imagine the first layer of the network. It might only learn to spot really simple things, like basic edges or corners or maybe patches of color.
Okay, very basic stuff.
Super basic. But the next layer takes those simple features as input and learns to combine them into slightly more complex shapes. Maybe something that looks like an eye or the curve of a nostril.
Ah, I see. Building blocks.
Exactly. And the layer above that combines the eyes, noses, mouths, etc. to recognize a face. Each layer builds on the abstraction learned by the layer below it.
So it's learning the important features automatically rather than a human having to program, look for two circles above a line to find a face.
Precisely. That old way was called feature engineering, and it was incredibly laborious. Deep learning automates that discovery process.
And the book covers the whole arc, right? Not just the current state.
Oh, yeah. He touches on the history, the so-called AI winters, when this stuff fell out of favor because the computers weren't powerful enough yet.
Right. I remember hearing about those.
And then brings us up to the modern specialized architectures, like CNNs and RNNs. We'll get to those. And importantly, he doesn't shy away from the tough parts. The limitations, the ethical concerns, bias. the black box problem.
Okay, essential context. Let's get into those mechanics then. We need to start with the absolute basic unit, right? The artificial neuron or the perceptron.
The perceptron, yeah. Think of it like a tiny decision-making unit. It gets several inputs.
Like sensory data? Temperature, maybe?
Could be anything, yeah. Temperature, pixels in an image, word frequencies in text. Each input has a weight attached to it.
And the weight means its importance.
Exactly. If one input is really critical for the decision, it gets a high weight. If it's less relevant, a low weight.
Okay, so inputs multiplied by their importance.
Then they're all added up. There's also usually a biases term, which sort of helps adjust the threshold. And finally, all that gets passed through an activation function.
And that function decides.
Right.
Fire or don't fire.
Pretty much. Often it's a simple yes, no, or maybe a probability. Does this pattern look significant enough to pass on? It's basically sophisticated weighted voting.
Okay, so one tiny decision point.
Yeah.
But how does that scale up to recognizing, you know, a cat in a photo or translating languages?
Right, that's the key question. A single perceptron, or even one layer of them, a shallow network, is quite limited. The power comes from stacking them deep.
Which brings us back to that hierarchical abstraction. Multiple layers.
Many, many layers. That's the deep in deep learning. Let's revisit that image example.
Okay.
Layer one, edges and corners. Very simple. Doesn't know cat.
Layer two, takes those edges, combines them, maybe learns eye shape or pointy ear shape. Still doesn't know cat.
Layer three, takes the eye shapes, ear shapes, maybe whisker lines, and combines those representations. Now, it might learn cat face.
Huh. Okay. It's building up complexity layer by layer, automatically figuring out the important combinations.
That's the essence of it. It automates feature engineering. The network learns the relevant features itself directly from the data. That's its power.
So if that layered structure is the anatomy, what's the engine? How does it actually learn those weights and features?
Okay, now we're talking about the training process. This involves two key concepts, backpropagation and gradient descent.
Right, these sound intimidating, but Kelleher breaks them down, right?
He does. Think of learning as basically systematic error correction. First, you feed data into the network, say, a picture of a cat. It makes a prediction based on its current weights. That's the forward pass.
And if it guesses dog?
Then it calculates how wrong it was. That's the error or loss. Now, the clever part is figuring out why it was wrong.
How much did each of those millions of weights contribute to the mistake?
Exactly. That's the job of backpropagation. It works backward through the network, layer by layer, calculating the contribution of each connection to the final error. It assigns blame, essentially.
Okay, so it knows who messed up, then what?
Then gradient descent comes in to fix it. This is where that analogy Kelleher uses is helpful, the hiker in the fog.
Trying to find the bottom of a valley.
Right. You can't see the whole landscape, but you can feel the slope right where you are. To get lower, to minimize the error, you take a small step in the steepest downhill direction.
So the network calculates the slope of the error for each weight.
Using calculus, yeah, the gradient.
And nudges each weight slightly in the direction that reduces the overall error the most.
Precisely. It's not one giant leap. It's millions of tiny adjustments repeated over and over with lots and lots of data examples until the network gets really good at making correct predictions.
Wow. Okay, so that's the core learning mechanism. Mm-hmm. But then there are specialized tools built on this.
Yes. Different network architectures optimize for different types of data. The big ones Kelleher covers are CNNs and RNNs.
Let's start with CNNs. Convolutional neural networks.
Right. These are the champions for spatial data. Think images, video, anything where arrangement in space matters.
And their trick is convolution.
Yeah. Instead of every neuron looking at every single pixel, which is hugely inefficient, CNNs use small filters, tiny matrices that slide across the image.
Filters for what?
Each filter is specialized. One might just detect horizontal lines, another diagonal lines, another a specific texture or curve.
Ah, so they're like little feature detectors scanning the image.
Exactly. This makes them way more efficient and also robust if the feature moves around in the image. The network learns which filters are useful for the task.
And this was the tech behind that big breakthrough moment, right? AlexNet.
That's the one. 2012 ImageNet competition. AlexNet, a deep CNN, just blew away all the previous computer vision methods. It basically proved deep learning was the way forward for images.
Okay, so CNNs for space. What about RNNs? Recurrent neural networks.
RNNs handle sequences, data where order is crucial. Think text, the meaning of a sentence depends on word order, or speech, or stock prices over time.
And their special feature is?
An internal loop or memory. When an RNN processes an item in a sequence, like a word, the output it generates is fed back into the network as part of the input for the next item, the next word.
So it remembers what came before. It has context.
It has a short-term memory, yes. That loop allows it to maintain information about prior elements in the sequence, which is vital for understanding context in language, for example.
Makes sense. That's crucial for translation or chatbots.
Absolutely. Modern systems often use more advanced versions, like LSTMs or transformers, but the core idea of handling sequence through recurrence or attention started there.
Okay, fascinating stuff. Let's zoom out a bit now to the bigger themes Kelleher emphasizes. He talks about a perfect storm confluence.
Yeah, he makes a really important point that deep learning didn't just appear out of nowhere in the 2010s because of one genius algorithm.
It needed other things to fall into place.
Right. Three key ingredients converged. One, big data. Suddenly we had massive data sets to train these hungry models thanks to the internet.
Ew.
Two, the hardware, specifically powerful parallel processors. And three, the refined algorithms like the ones we just discussed, building on decades of research.
And the hardware story is kind of wild, isn't it? GPUs.
It's amazing. Graphics processing units. They were developed primarily for the gaming industry to render complex, fast graphics.
For better explosions and textures in video games.
Exactly. But it turned out that the parallel processing architecture needed for graphics was perfect for the type of matrix multiplications deep learning relies on. So gamers indirectly fueled the AI revolution.
Incredible unintended consequence.
Yeah.
Okay, second big theme, the data-driven revolution.
This is the fundamental shift we talked about earlier, learning patterns directly from data rather than humans writing rules.
And the implication is huge. Data itself becomes the most valuable resource.
Totally. The quality and sheer volume of your data determine the quality of your AI. It's why you see companies hoarding data like never before. If the patterns aren't in the data, the model can't learn them.
Which leads directly into the third theme, the ethical imperative.
Because this power is definitely a double-edged sword. Since the models learn from data, they inherit any biases in that data.
If your historical data reflects societal biases, the AI will learn and potentially amplify them.
Precisely. And this connects to the black box problem. These deep networks can have millions, even billions of parameters. It's incredibly difficult, sometimes impossible, to pinpoint exactly why it made a specific decision.
Which is scary in high-stakes situations, like loan applications or medical diagnoses or even criminal justice.
Absolutely. Kelleher stresses that this lack of interpretability and the risk of bias, meaning human oversight, is non-negotiable. We need accountability. Transparency isn't just nice to have. It's essential for trust.
Very sobering points.
Mm-hmm.
Kelleher does a great job framing these big ideas with memorable statements. Let's touch on a few key takeaways or quotes.
One I really like is his reminder, deep learning is not magic. It's a powerful set of techniques for finding patterns in data.
Yeah, that grounds it. It's engineering, not sorcery.
Exactly. Manages expectations, it's methodical, it follows rules, even if the scale is huge.
Another one that stood out to me was about skills. The most important skill in the age of AI is not programming neural networks, but knowing when and how to apply them appropriately.
Mm-hmm. That shifts the focus. It's about strategic thinking, AI literacy, understanding the tool's strengths and weaknesses, not just coding prowess.
Knowing if deep learning is even the right tool for a given problem.
And linking back to the ethics. The black box problem is not just a technical challenge. It's a fundamental question about trust and accountability in automated systems.
That really elevates the issue.
Yeah.
It's not just for engineers to solve. It's a societal question about responsibility.
Can we trust systems we don't fully understand, especially when they have real-world impact?
Okay, so let's make this really practical. How can listeners use the insights from Kelleher's book from this deep dive day-to-day?
Well, first off, it equips you for critical evaluation of AI claims.
Ah, filtering the hype.
Exactly. You now know deep learning needs lots of good data. You know it can be brittle, fooled by adversarial examples. So when you see a headline about an AI breakthrough based on a tiny data set, you can be healthily skeptical.
Ask the right questions.
Right. Second, it enables informed decision making, whether in your job or just understanding the world.
How so?
You have a framework now. Is this problem actually about finding complex patterns in data? Do we have that data? Is it clean? If not, maybe deep learning isn't the answer, even if it's trendy.
Choosing the right tool for the job, basically.
And third, It just gives you enhanced digital literacy. You start to see the mechanisms behind the curtain.
Like when Netflix suggests a movie, you realize
it's likely some kind of recurrent network or transformer that's learned patterns in your viewing sequence. It's not just random.
Or when Google Photos automatically tags your friends.
That's a CNN identifying faces, using those hierarchical features we talked about, edges to shapes to faces. It demystifies the technology you use every day.
Okay, let's wrap up. Final thoughts or takeaways from Kelleher's work. What's the big message you took away?
For me, it's the emphasis on the future being about humans and AI working together. Augmentation, not replacement across the board.
That's reassuring.
It is. Kelleher stresses that AI lacks genuine common sense, ethical reasoning, real-world context. Human judgment, wisdom, oversight, those remain critical. AI is a powerful tool, but we're still the ones wielding it.
My biggest takeaway, maybe the most surprising, was the idea of accelerated innovation. How deep learning acts as this incredible catalyst.
Because it automates pattern discovery.
Exactly. Think about scientific research, drug discovery, material science, climate modeling. Finding complex patterns in massive data sets used to take ages, or was impossible. Now, deep learning can surface those patterns exponentially faster.
Shortening the discovery cycle.
Dramatically.
Yeah.
Which means the pace of change is only going to increase, making continuous learning about these tools like we've done today absolutely essential just to keep up.
Well said.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.